أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. إن الحمد لله نستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أفضل الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. وصيكم نفسي بتقوى الله. أما بعد، dear brothers and sisters, today I'd like to talk about a topic which is sometimes not fully understood, especially in relation to Islam, and that is the question of freedom. Is there such a thing as absolute freedom? And where does Islam stand with regards to freedom? And just to get one point very clearly through at the beginning before we start discussion, I'd like to make it quite clear that Islam holds freedom at a very high place. In Islam, freedom is equivalent to life. It's as precious as life. In Islam, if somebody kills somebody by mistake, then the way to get forgiven is to give freedom to the slave. This is how it was. And this indicates that freedom, i.e. giving the slave his freedom back, is like giving somebody else their life back. So this is how important freedom is in Islam. So having said that, let's try to elaborate a bit on some points. Now, we know that religion, or Islam in particular, consists of two parts. Part of it is the belief, the aqidah, and part of it is the sharia. The sharia is the laws and the regulations of Islam. And to understand that, we need to understand what they call maqasid al-sharia. Why has God given these laws, this sharia? What is the purpose of the sharia? And the scholars have informed us that sharia has got five purposes. One is hifz al-deen. That is to preserve religion and to ensure religious freedom. Two is hifz al-aql, and that is to preserve thinking, freedom of thinking. And three is hifz al-irb, and that is to preserve honor and ensuring that nobody's honor is impinged on. Four is hifz al-nafs, and that is to preserve life, because life has got great sanctity in Islam. And finally, is hifz al-mal, and that is to preserve money. So all the laws of the sharia, whatever you find, whatever it is we're told in sharia, all the laws of sharia are to organize these relationships in the society. Religion, thinking, honor, life, and money. So let's just examine very quickly each one of these. So, freedom of religion. Islam has got, or grants, a complete freedom of religion, where it makes it quite clear, it says in the Quran, لا إكراه في الدين. There is no, nobody should be forced to adopt any religious beliefs. لا إكراه في الدين. Everybody's got absolute freedom to have their belief. It also addresses Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran, where Allah says, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُصَيْطِرْ. Remind them, you are just there to remind them, to inform them. You are not there to control them. You are not the controller. It also says, أَفَأَنْتَ تُكْرِهُ النَّاسُ حَتَّى يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. Are you going to force people to be believers? No, you don't. So the Quran makes it quite clear that Islam grants absolute religious freedom. If you want to believe, believe. You don't want to believe, it's your choice. You want to follow Islam, follow Islam. You want to follow any other religion, it's your choice. Islam grants this absolute freedom. And just to remind you of a story that shows how the Sahaba understood this point very clearly. When Jerusalem was opened and Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab went to Jerusalem, he went to visit the priests in the church there, and it was time for prayer. So they invited him to prayer, and he said, "No, I will not pray inside the church, because if I pray inside the church, it might be changed into a mosque later on." And he prayed outside. And up till this very day, Umar's mosque, which has been built where he prayed in Jerusalem, still stands in front of a church. And this emphasizes the fact that Islam grants absolute religious freedom and respects people's freedom and respects other people's belief. Allah also tells us in the Quran, لا إكراه في الدين. There is no compulsion in religion. قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. The truth is clear and the untruth is clear. It's up to you. Follow whatever you want. So if Allah tells us this, who are we to try and force anybody to believe one way or the other? It also says, لَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَآمَنُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا أَفَأَنْتَ تُكْرِهُ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ in Surah Yunus. If Allah wanted, He could have made all the people believers, but He didn't. Are you going to try and force people to become believers? No, it is not our duty. It's our duty to let people know about Islam. It's our duty to convey the message of Islam. It's our duty to convey the message of truth. But it's not our duty, or we shouldn't be forcing anybody to follow our beliefs. The second part of Sharia is to ensure the freedom of life. Everybody is entitled to live, to have a free life. And we know that in Islam, the punishment for killing is to kill whoever killed the person, a life for a life. Because life has got great sanctity in Islam. We respect, Islam respects life. And as I said before, if somebody kills somebody by mistake, then the way to redeem himself is to give freedom, to grant freedom to somebody who doesn't have it. Because Islam holds freedom exactly in the same place as it holds life. This is how important freedom is in Islam. The third purpose of Sharia is to ensure that there is freedom of thought. Now, Islam ensures that everybody can think freely, can express the points freely, can express their opinions freely. Nobody should be forced to think in one way or the other. Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم tells us in the hadith, رُفِعَ عَنْ أُمَّتِي الْخَطَأْ وَالنِّسِيَانِ وَمَا اسْتُكْرِهُ عَلَيْهِ. So the ummah of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم has been forgiven for mistakes, and you are forgiven for forgetfulness, and you are forgiven for something that you've been forced to do. So if somebody forces you to do something, you are forgiven for it. And this proves beyond belief, beyond doubt, that you should not be forced to change your thoughts. We should not force anybody to change their thoughts. So freedom of thinking is granted in Islam, and Sharia ensures that. The fourth thing it's trying to impose on us is freedom of honor. So, honor, or we say it is honor, it's the Arabic word is al-ard is not just honor as such, it is anything where you would be thanked for or you would be insulted if you are mentioned about. And of course, it does include the honor as well. So, Islam ensures that, Sharia ensures that everybody's honor is preserved. And that's why in Islam, marriage, there's no compelling in marriage. You cannot compel a man or a woman to get married. And if, according to Sharia, if a man or a woman is forced into a marriage, it is null and void. It does not exist. And that's why always in marriage, the person who's conducting the marriage ceremony has got to ensure that the man and that the girl or the woman are be getting married with their own free will, because there's no compulsion. Finally, the fifth point of Sharia, the fifth purpose of Sharia is preservation of money. Your money is your own, whatever, or property, of course. It's your own. It preserves it for you. And that's why in Islam, in Sharia, whoever steals has his hand chopped off. The purpose of this is to preserve your property, your money, my property, from other people who can impinge on this freedom. So from this we can see, after this introduction, that Islam ensures freedom on all levels. Islam holds freedom in a very high level on all levels. However, let's now consider the two extremes. On one extreme, there will be complete oppression, where the freedom is completely oppressed, whether in a society or on a personal level. And on the other level, there would be what they call absolute freedom. And this is the point I want to discuss. And I'll come to that in a minute, because is there such a thing as absolute freedom? So let's take one extreme first, which is oppression. We know that oppression, whether in a society or on a personal level, will lead to apathy and aggression on a personal level. So if you oppress your kids, if you don't give them a chance to express themselves, they will become very, very weak characters, they will become pathetic, and they will become aggressive. This is normal. The same thing in countries. Countries where there are oppressive regimes, people feel oppressed, they do not interact in the society, and the societies, and we can see that in a lot of the Muslim countries, unfortunately, and that's why they have become backwards. And whereas in the beginning of Islam, when there was real freedom of speech, when there was real democracy, we've seen what the Islam has done. The Islamic Empire was one of the greatest empires in the world. Now, just to prove this point, and to answer people who say that Islam is an oppressive religion, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam formed the first Islamic state as such in Medina, he was the prophet, he was the leader, he was the king, he was the president, he was everything. He could have had absolute, you know, whatever he said, people followed. Yet, what did the Quran tell him? He said, the Quran said, فَعَفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَوِّرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Three orders to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Forgive them, those who are transgressed. Istaghfir lahum, ask God to forgive them, and shawarhum fil amr, and ask them, take their opinion, be democratic. So, direct order from Allah to Prophet Muhammad that he should be democratic. And this sets the precedent for all leaders that come after him. And this is why Islam was so great, and that's why the Islamic Empire was so great. And unfortunately, once the leaders that followed did not follow this example, this is where we are today. Now, as I said, on a personal level, oppression of kids, several studies have shown that oppression of children, oppression of kids, leads to them becoming rebellious, leads to them taking up drugs, and causes other, many, many other problems. The same in personal relationships, relationships between a man and a wife. There should be freedom. There should be respect of space. There should be respect of opinion. There shouldn't be, not one part of the other should be oppressive, otherwise the marriage fails. So, I will not talk too much about this because the example is so clear. What I really want to talk about today is freedom. Is there such a thing as absolute freedom? Is there such a thing where you can just do whatever you want regardless? And the answer is no, because you live in a society. And once you start going beyond your edges, your boundaries, you're going to be impinging on somebody else's boundaries of freedom. And this is what I hope to be able to demonstrate. So, take for example, somebody applies for a job. I go for a job, They give me a job description. I understand how the company works. I understand the rules and regulations of the company. And then I go to the interview. I'm offered the job. I accept it. Now, once I've accepted the job, it means that I have accepted the rules and regulations of this company, and I've accepted the way it functions. So I wouldn't be able to say, I'm sorry, I don't like coming in. You start at 8 o'clock. It's too early for me. I wake up late. I won't come at 8. I'll come at 9. If they tell me the dress code is to be dressed in a suit, smart suit, and a tie, I wouldn't say, I don't like wearing ties. I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that. You can't, because this is not, it is not personal freedom. You've accepted to do the job. You've accepted the rules and regulations of the job. And unfortunately, this is where a lot of Muslims fall into this trap. Once you're free to be a believer or an unbeliever, it's up to you. Once you say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, you have entered into a contract with Allah. And once you entered into a contract with Allah, there is no such thing as absolute freedom. You have to work within the rules and regulations of this contract. It's the same like somebody who's accepted a job. Once you accept the job, you have to work within the rules and regulations of the job. Once you accept the contract with Allah, and the contract is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنْ مُؤْمِنِينَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ وَأَنفُسَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. You have entered into a contract with Allah. You will follow the rules and regulations, and what are you going to be paid? You're going to be paid al-Jannah. You're going to go to paradise. This is the contract. Now, you enter into this contract, you can't change the rules. You can't say, I'm sorry, look, you know, times are hard. I have to sell alcohol, because if I don't sell alcohol, my business is not going to work. No, you don't have this freedom. You would say, oh, but, you know, I'm free. I'm free to, for example, sell alcohol. Or a girl is free to get dressed any way she wants. No, she is not. You are not free to do what you want, because you are now within the boundaries of an agreement. It is not easy. But this is where the Quran explains to us, where it says, إِنَّا عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ فَأَبَيْنَا أَنْ يَحْمِلْنَهَا. Allah has offered the amana, the freedom of choice, to the mountains, to the earth, to the skies, and they have all refused to take this responsibility. وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. Human being is the only creature, is the only creation who's agreed to take the responsibility. Responsibility of what? Responsibility of choice. Responsibility of freedom of choice. So we have got the freedom of choice, yes. We are free to choose what we want, yes. But once we enter into the contract, once we accept La ilaha illallah, Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah, we do not have the absolute freedom. So in a way, once we accept that we are slaves to Allah, we are free slaves in a way. So, essentially, this is the point that I want to highlight mainly today, is that we sometimes misunderstand our freedom. We sometimes think that we are free to do whatever we want. We are not really free to do whatever we want. We are free to choose. And then within this choice, we have to respect the boundaries. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الملك الحق المبين. وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله الرحمة المهداة والنعمة المزداة والسراج المنير. أما بعد. So the point that I want to make today is that if you go beyond the boundaries of your freedom, you become a transgressor, because you're actually transgressing on somebody else's territory or on Allah's territory. For example, let's take an example. I own a house. It is mine. I bought it with my money. I work. I have an income. So I can buy cigarettes, and I can smoke a cigarette in my house. So it's my house, I'm free to do whatever I want to do in my house, and I'm free to smoke a cigarette if I want to, because I'm free to do it, I'm going to harm my health, it's my health. Is this a true statement? No, it isn't. Because if I smoke at home, other people, other non-smokers at home, kids at home are going to inhale my smoke. So I'm actually impinging on their freedom by smoking at home, although it is my house. Another example. I'm joking with my friends, and I'm going to use bad language. I'm free. I'm joking. He's my friend. I'm free to say what I want. No, I'm not, because if I speak in a loud voice and you hear me using bad language, I'm hurting your feelings. So I'm impinging on your freedom. So it is not true freedom. Same thing. Young ladies who go out dressed in very short clothes or revealing clothes, they are free to do what they want. It's up to them. It's their freedom. It's their personal freedom. But is it? They are impinging on other people's freedoms. They are impinging on other young men's freedoms to be able to live without having to do wrong. And there are endless examples, which I don't want to go through because you can just carry on and on and on. But this brings us to the important point of freedom of expression. When these cartoons about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were published in several European newspapers and magazines, they said it's freedom of expression. Now, is it actually freedom of expression, or are they impinging on other people's freedoms? They are rigging facts, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not a terrorist. So when they published his picture with wearing a bomb on his head, they are not telling the truth. So they are forging the truth. And this is not freedom, because they don't have the freedom to forge the truth about somebody. And also, they are hurting my feelings, your feelings, and every Muslim's feelings. So they are impinging on our freedom. And finally, of course, I don't want to discuss that in details, but of course it's double standards. Because if anybody would have put a cartoon like that, carrying the picture of a rabbi, he would have been accused of anti-Semitism. But anyhow, that's besides the point. So, it's a big subject, and we can go on and on about it. But I just want to emphasize that Islamic view sets human beings free from all their oppressors by the word La ilaha illallah. Once you say La ilaha illallah, you're actually setting yourself free. It is the core of our religion. It is a revolution for freedom. It frees human beings from slavery to all oppressors, all changeables. And singling Allah as the God, an admission of ownership of Allah, once you admit that Allah owns everything and He owes you, it frees you from the slavery to anybody and anything else. Accepting slavery to a non-material, that is Allah, actually ensures your freedom from slavery to all materialistic values and persons and objects. So in actual fact, by accepting La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, you are freeing yourself. You are giving yourself the ultimate freedom. Remembering that there is no such thing as absolute freedom. Freedom comes with boundaries. There is no such thing in life at all as absolute freedom. اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وارضنا بفضلك عمن سواك اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي ابدا ما احييتنا وارحمنا بترك ما لا يعنينا وارزقنا حسن النظر فيما يرضيك عنا اللهم انصر الاسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الاسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الاسلام والمسلمين ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واستغفروه يغفر لكم وأقيموا الصلاة ورحمة الله